So, the deal is done. No, not that one. The other one. In fact, there are two deals to talk about today. And no, not that one. And I don't think this was a happy deal either. I think it was a very, You see, folks, over the course of 2 days, both Alex Albon and Carlos Sainz were confirmed to be staying at Williams for 2027. In the case of the Thai driver, it was for next year specifically, and for the Spaniard, you compare those two promotions and they are very, very different, although it is clear that both of these drivers are choosing to remain with this team for next season. Is it something they're choosing to do wholeheartedly? Well, I don't think it's what the social media team are trying to post it as. It's really, really not. Because I'm already seeing a problem with the way they are treating the announcement of Albon's contract. It was the opener to the even more spectacular Sainz announcement the following day. You would think that them announcing them separately would be something that they were just chewing over the last minute minutiae, but I think it was very much a coordinated effort to maintain as much hype around Williams as possible, because if they announced both drivers at the same time with slightly different terms, there probably would be more scrutiny, and the hype would have died down even more. And I think to understand that, you need to go back to the last time Alex extended his contract. When you go back to 2024, you might understand why, because at the time, the race said that the deal that he signed when Williams were also experiencing a false dawn scenario appeared to cover at least 26 and 27. Now, in the former, we've got what we got, saying that no new racing deal had been agreed, that this was just an extension of the already announced agreement from 2 years ago, and that the terms that he might be under may not have changed one bit, whereas his teammates' arrangements and terms, they're probably considerably different. One says that Albon had already signed a deal a few years ago, whereas the other one just needed that little bit extra, that the commitment was already there, but they just needed to thrash out the most important bits, as in, what could either side get out of it? Unlike Alex, Carlos did sign once again. And naturally, it has resulted in dozens and dozens of Carlos Sainz jokes. Ha 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 ha. I've seen enough of those to last me a lifetime. And Williams were very keen to let people know that Carlos was going to be sticking around for more than 2027. Unlike with Alex, they used the specific year. And that's only going to throw up even more questions, just like they did when Kimi and George were announced for only 2026. For Carlos, nope, he gets the multi-year terminology. But one thing is absolutely for certain. Williams does need just that. Certainty at the moment, because after 2024 being a bum note after the decent 2023 and then 2025 being an absolute unexpected win, even though they weren't really trying to develop the car, 2026 is probably even more of a bum note than 2024, because sure, you could say that, well, they're probably on course to score more points than they did a couple of years ago, but they had a rookie and an experienced driver. Now they've got two veterans, and they might not be doing much better. And in fact, they might be staring at 10th place in the constructors if Aston Martin really kick on with 11 races to go. And on top of that, they just watched Audi streak past them around Hungary with those 2 points Hülkenberg got. All the while, Alonso looking maniacally at them. And look, we all know what happened with the FW48, so I'll spare you here. But suffice to say, this season has not gone how they or we expected. Same goes, funnily enough, for Aston. But they at least have got their turnaround back on track, whereas Williams, well, their drivers are staring enviously at the green machine. But Carlos has not been a shrinking violet about it either. And there's some context here as to why that's important, because back in June, he was not looking for an exit. He wanted to make the Williams project work, and it made sense, really, because he could be the guy to restore the likes of Williams and continue his streak of leaving teams better than when he arrived. And right now, if he chose to leave at the end of 2026, it would have really ended that streak badly, going from 5th to 10th, or technically 9th to 10th. It'd be certainly disappointing, let's just say that. Yet the stuff around the Hungarian Grand Prix, what he said regarding the car and obviously saving the Piastri malarkey, it did get me rather curious. He was asked directly whether or not Williams had met his expectations regarding the team and what they could do, and he of course said that infamous line that his expectations have been delayed by a year or two. That's far more important and fundamental than him just saying the car is bad over and over and over again, just like his compatriot did while he was at McLaren. Because cars can get bad, and cars and drivers, they can work well together despite them being bad. Now, this was more to do with the entire timetable as to the reason why he even joined Williams in the first place. This was a fundamental thing he was questioning to himself. And then Aston Martin, who had been behind them all season, managed to finish 13th and 14th, whereas Carlos was fighting for his life for 18th at the time. Can you see the difference here? Thusly, Sainz went into the summer break with his future completely unresolved, and it took the entire time for him to be able to think about this, and then ultimately, 27 days later, we have actually now finally get to see Carlos Sainz. So you might be asking yourself, well, what changed? Well, one simple answer could be, well, absolutely nothing. Because despite the lamentations and frustrations of his present situation, Sainz has spent months saying he believes in the people of Williams, and there is investment happening, although I can easily imagine Doralton are scratching their heads at the moment as to why things haven't kicked on this year as had been promised. Nevertheless, the team has been doing stuff with its technical operation. Maybe Carlos has used the summer break exactly as advertised and decided the long-term case still made logical sense. That to leave now would potentially allow a rival, such as the rumoured Checo, to reap the rewards he had spent alongside Alex the last 18 months helping to establish. But naturally, there was another conversation happening around this contract. That, of course, being delicious money, because, well, that's how Formula One contracts work these days, and in fact, it's probably been the case ever since Formula One was a thing, or even any sort of racing contract. Because if these reports are accurate, then Carlos may be in for a bumper deal, one that was even bigger than the one he had even in his final season at Ferrari. It could be three times as big as his 2024 pay packet from Ferrari, at least the base one. And yes, of course, this comes with the foam and, no, spanner of speculation. I'm getting these things mixed up. I'm going to have to banhammer myself. But the point is, though, he is going to probably have the biggest salary of his entire career. Racing News 365 reported, as well as others, that Sainz was being offered a significantly improved salary, with some even stating it was 30 million euros a year. If true, that wouldn't be far off what Leclerc and Russell are being paid at Ferrari and Mercedes respectively. And yeah, I don't know whether that figure is right, but I think it does check out well that the salary has definitely increased from his original amount. I mean, how could it not? With Sainz saying publicly that this project is taking far longer for it to be realised, we all thought that this year would have been the one where it turned a corner. Arguably, that actually was last year. There would have to be some sort of fresh multi-year deal to understand that. That the one he originally took would have indicated that, oh, absolute peak performance, top five big team front-runner status was just around the corner. Now it's been delayed, in Carlos's own words, a year or two. So it's going to take some time for, you know, that to be compensated for. That all of this time where he could be in his prime at a big team, it might have gone to waste. So, okay, is this whole financial compensation thing here to stop him from complaining? No, absolutely not. Because one of the big endorsements and endearments of Carlos is the fact that he does complain, that he's got something to say about Formula One cars. As we have talked about in previous videos, he can go on for hours over the radio giving feedback regarding a car. If he's been told that we'll give you this money if you just hold your tongue that little bit more, Williams would be doing themselves a disservice. And they do need to be held to account time and time again. We need to see more times where James is figuratively just shuffling his shoes and going, we're sorry that we're not doing well. We do have a good reason, though. You know, we need moments where we see Williams not getting absolutely cocky and arrogant. We need them to be all, you know, just remorseful and guilty, because that's the only way they'll change and actually get things done. But I mean, yeah, money did have something to do with this. I don't think any Formula One driver will be taking a blind leap of faith without some kind of extra little bit of moolah in their back pocket. Even Max Verstappen, with the now reported deal I just talked about recently as I recorded this, that he's now staying at Red Bull for an extra 2 years. Ford is absolutely loving this. I wish Williams had that kind of certainty and endorsement and endearment that obviously Lauren Mekies is feeling right now, because it's certainly good news for him that Max is remaining there. But that's, of course, for that live stream the other day. But we also got to consider what was going on in his original Williams agreement. Those exit clause deals, do they still apply in this brand new deal? Has he signed this multi-year deal with maybe some other conditions if he's going to get compensation? Like, Russell may have signed away some exit clause conditions for that extra big bump in pay salary that he got for this year and now next year?
But the new evidence, though, it's not as clear as it was when James first announced it. In short, it's a lot more vague, and that might have been by choice. It's certainly circumstantial.
Before the signing, Marca reported that his management was seeking performance-related protection again, reportedly modelled on Verstappen's conditions, as in, if Carlos is not at a certain position by a certain date, then he could leave without penalty or issue. The race's post-announcement verdict also argued that his management would be unlikely to do a deal without any exit clauses as well. And then you've got to look at James Vowles' wording in the announcement. That caught my eye as well. For Sainz, he said, quote, he is a leader of this team. And for Albon, quote, Alex has been a leader of this transformation project since day one, end quote. Sure, these are only press releases and James himself didn't sign off on them. I mean, the communications department surely did. You know, sanitizing his words to the nth degree because that's just what they do. But it does sit alongside harder evidence that already points in the same direction, that Sainz was able to renegotiate his deal, whereas Alex may have not. And that might tell us some understandings as to where their positions are with this team, that it may no longer be the same as it is for last year and next year, that maybe Carlos is the captain now and Alex is the number two driver. And yes, some of you out there might be saying, well, of course that should be the case, because when you look at all the statistics, Carlos is a race winner, four times even. He's had 29 podiums, whereas Alex has only had two, and he got those 6 years ago. And let's not forget that Carlos drove for Ferrari and McLaren. Yeah, you've got to really consider that as well. He has now driven for three of the legacy Formula One teams. That's, of course, teams that have been around since the 1970s, or even earlier than that. And whilst I believe those are all valid explanations, I do believe Alex has his own sense of worth regarding Williams, because he is now, and may continue to do so, be the most experienced driver Williams has ever had, having been, as James said, been there since the beginning, before Vowles took office. He knows everything there is regarding the entire rebuilding and reconstruction of this team. But to be fair, he may not have had a better seat available, and that could have easily applied to Carlos. And that's not necessarily a major slight against Williams, that might be just how the driver market works. Although there are probably loads of Albon haters and naysayers that might be saying, well, after all of this time, I mean, he's been at this team now for five seasons and he's not been able to bring them up to the top four. Maybe it's Carlos's turn to lead the charge. No more equal status, etc. And you know what? I don't think it might necessarily be that. I think it might be just down to the timing that might be why they chose to do the deed. That, yes, indeed, there are no better seats available for either man in terms of where they stand within the Formula One grid. So it's best just to park yourself where you are familiar and where you are comfortable and where you are appreciated. Let's make no mistake. Williams are not in a position to call the shots with either of these drivers. They are at the whims of both Carlos and Alex. They are lucky to be able to hold on to them for one more year. I easily expected at least one of those guys to leave. And if they lost both, well, I don't see how they would have been able to recover from that. You know, except maybe taking a major paycheck and experience from Pacheco after he found renewed confidence in Cadillac. But, you know, that's not happening anymore. But regardless of that point, the deal changes the stakes for 2027 because Williams have 10 points over Aston Martin with 11 races to go. And under Adrian Newey's design leadership, that team is finally on a trajectory Williams can't match right now. And both drivers already know this year's car is beyond saving. Albon saying it has, quote, 2 or 3 years worth of rectifying and genetic DNA problems, end quote. The car's platform is, as he said, fundamentally slow. And he has his own foam regarding whether or not the backup upgrade will fix it. Something his boss said would be, quote, almost an entirely new car, end quote. So yeah, 2026 is gone. 2027 is the year that has to work right now. They have to do everything they can to make sure the FW50, they are skipping the 49 for next year because it's, I think, at the anniversary year, the 50th of Williams Grand Prix Engineering, to make sure that this is a platform that can actually improve upon potentially 10th place. I mean, that's not exactly hard, but they've also got other things to try and convince to Alex and Carlos that this team is on the right track, that the investment will come good. And you've really got to consider what 2027 is going to look like in terms of their contracts, because Sainz has signed a new deal that is considerably bigger than what he had before, with probably even more luxurious terms in his favour, not Williams's. And Alex, he's now having to remain on the existing deal that he's got by just taking on the extra option of maybe just staying one more year. What's he going to be doing for 2028? We don't know for sure. It depends whether or not the arrangement remains harmonious and there's no bad blood. That's a question mainly for next year, but it does tell me for sure. These two men, even though they get along just fine and are Red Bull refugees, they understand what happens with driver drama and finagling with contracts. They really are in different positions at the moment, even though they are of similar age and status within the Formula One grid, bar the wins from Carlos, of course. Carlos is now flexing. That's all I'll say. And of course, there's next year's driver market. That could easily open more doors that may not be available today. Although Max Verstappen removing himself from the conversation through 2030 may actually be a blessing in disguise for both of these men. Sure, Sainz may have wanted to have the door open at Red Bull to maybe have a chance of leading that team, but with that out of the picture, that certainly means that Max is not about to snipe any other place on the grid that might have been able to find something within this regulation cycle. But hey, at least they've bought themselves some time, said Williams. They've given themselves one more year to convince these two veterans that they are worth their time. And yes, there should be credit where it's due for Vals to be able to actually do this, to be able to keep these two men and not have to really try and go and look for brand new drivers or even call upon their reserve Luke Browning. But I wouldn't look at these two announcements separated by 24 hours and think this is a cause for absolute jubilation. It's not. It's a case of, for any Williams fans especially, a large they can now at least think that 2026 is not a total loss. They've been able to keep their two men who put a lot of faith in this team. They are an elite package in comparison to what Williams has had for a very long time. But this can only go on for so long. They need the 2027 car to be faster and their own rebuild to be faster than it has been in recent times. Both Carlos and Alex need to see what's going on behind the scenes producing proper results. They can't have what happened at the start of last year where they missed the entire shakedown because they found out, oh no, the 2026 regulations were too much for us after all. We thought they weren't, but they were. Ah! And then of course the groundhog, when that got hit, their development was hindered. Ah! Williams cannot be upended by the slightest mishap or setback. They need to be able to ride over those bumps with no issues whatsoever. And if that can't happen, then I don't blame Carlos or Alex deciding to go, you know what, I'm just going to pick somewhere else. Yeah. Or, if you wanted to be a little bit more morbid, you could easily say that Carlos Sainz Sr. looked to his boy, not taking his advice regarding Audi, and saying, well, you're grounded! So yeah, you can tell that Williams are probably not thrilled. They are probably just thankful that they are not having to brick it or find someone else right now. This is a huge relief. And I relieve you of watching this video and insist you go over to this video over here because I do believe it's worth your time. I'm just going to fit myself into something fresh and I'll be right with you.